This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, we've been in a subject called Kingdom Powers. Amen. How many people have been getting a hold of this? Amen. We've been learning, really, how to walk in the kingdom of light. Amen. And how to work with God. Somebody say, work with God. And so you really want to learn how to work with God. Amen. And we've been on the main text for our series is in Matthew 6:33. I'm going to read the Amplified to you. It says, but first and most importantly, seek, aim, and strive after His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God. All these things will be given to you also. That's powerful. So we need to be every day seeking the kingdom of God and seeking His righteousness. In other words, trying to walk in the ways that God wants us to walk in. Amen? And that's the key. Amen? We learned that, and I believe that we learned that the powers that influence darkness, sometimes we can walk in those things. But we want to walk in what empowers the kingdom of light. We know what the series we've been looking at, pride versus humility, greed versus generosity, fear versus faith, sickness versus healing, stress versus rest. Amen. And last week we talked about foolishness versus wisdom. And how many people are coming out of some foolishness? Amen. Glory to God. We want to walk in wisdom. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, walk in wisdom. Amen. So today's message, I would say it's probably one of the most important messages that you're going to hear in the series. Because, you know, this message is something that we need to be doing every day of our lives. And the subtitle of this message is Grumbling and Complaining versus Praise and Worship. Amen? Grumbling and Complaining. And, you know, that the nature of the devil, you know, the devil's a grumbler and a complainer. Amen. And but, you know, it's interesting that the devil, we talked about him at the first series, that he fell because of pride. He got too caught up in himself. And when you get too caught up in yourself, and not exalting God, it always brings you down to a lower level. And so here I'm going to read to you a glimpse of what his job subscription might be, what the devil might have done, what Lucifer might have, his job title might have been in heaven before he fell. And in Ezekiel 28:13, it says, you were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. So he was a pretty angel, amen? And the workmanship, now this is what I want you to focus on, and the workmanship of your timbrels and the pipes was prepared for you on the day that you were created. So here, this is giving a description of the devil, and it shows how beautiful he was, but it shows that he had timbrels and pipes that was a part of his body, which tells me that he may have been an angel of worship. Amen. He may have been one of God's worship angels in heaven. Amen. And so I really believe he lost his position because he got too caught up in pride and focused on himself because he wanted the worship. And I'm going to say there's only one person that's deserving of worship, and that's God, that's Jesus. Amen. And we can't be replacing God with something else. Amen. We need to be worshiping God. And I believe that God replaced the devil as the worship leader in heaven, and he replaced him with us. Amen. I believe that he's called us to be worshipers. Somebody say, I'm a worshiper. And we know that the devil is the ultimate grumbler and complainer. And we're going to see this in Revelation 12:10, and this is it reads like this: Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of His Christ has come. For the accuser of the brethren who accuses them before our God day and night has been cast down." So we know the devil, he's a liar, and we know that he's a thief. But are you aware that he's an accuser? And the Bible says that the devil, because he lost his position, he lost his throne of worship, now he's accusing you and me every day before God. See, when we lose our praise in our lives, what tends to happen at times, we start accusing God of not being fair. Amen. We start thinking that because we're going through something, maybe God is putting us through this, and we start thinking that God, and we start becoming accusers. Are you hearing what am I going somewhere this morning? And we got to be very careful that we're not accusing God or people for the problem that we might be in. I'm going to say this: God's not our problem. Amen. People aren't your problem. Amen. The only problem you have is the devil. Amen. People aren't your enemies. Amen. Yes, they can come against you, but it's the devil working through people. And if you take authority over that spirit, they're going to have to walk in love towards you eventually. And if you walk in love towards those that are the haters in your life, eventually it will turn around. Do you believe that today? So I believe that God created us for three reasons. Number one, I believe that God created us to have fellowship with Him. Do you believe that today? And that's the number one key as a Christian, is that we should be developing our relationship with God every day. Does anybody know God in here? Because if you know God, you have faith. And you have to develop that relationship. You're getting to know God every time you come to church. Every time you open your Bible. Every time you hear a sermon, you're getting closer to God. You believe that today? I love that. We see a glimpse of this in Genesis 3:8 with God's relationship with Adam and Eve before they fell. It says here in Genesis 3:8, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden." So we see here that this must have been something that happened on a routine basis, that God met them in the cool of the day. That might have been early in the morning. That's why it's always good, if you're going to seek God, to seek God early in the morning. Amen. Put God first place in your day. Amen. And we love that, because in Hebrews 8:11, it says, "None of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them." So we see here that one of the keys that God created us is for fellowship. Somebody say fellowship. Amen. And the number two reason I believe God created us was for us to worship Him. Amen. For us to worship Him. For us to adore Him. See, He created us because He loves us, but He also wants us to love Him back. How many people are loving God back? Amen. How many people are reciprocating God's love back to Him? We need to be reciprocating it. Amen. And I love this, because the whole book of Psalms, anybody read the Psalms in here? I love the book of Psalms. I'm in it like every day. And the book of Psalms is really, you know, it's focused on worshiping God. Amen. If you study out the book of Psalms, and I like what it says in Psalms 107 verse 8, it says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works through the children of men." So the psalmist is saying, will people just give thanks to God? Will people just worship God? I'm telling you, you're at your highest faith when you're in a mode of praise and worship to the Lord. That's when you're in your highest faith, when you have a positive attitude towards God. I like this in Psalms 96:9. It says, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness, tremble before him all the earth. So it's encouraging us to worship him. In Psalms 95, 1, 2, it says, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyfully to the rock of our salvation." How many people like to sing to God? How many people have that worship music going on every day? Glory to God. You got to have that worship going, glory to God. And it says, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout." You know, you can shout in the house of the Lord. It's okay to shout. Amen. It's not shouting blasphemies. Amen. But shouting praise. Amen. We don't lift up our fist to the Lord shouting, you know, "God, why aren't you working out things in my life?" He's working it out. You may not see that he's working it out, but he's working things out. Amen. And so we need to get a revelation of that. In the New Testament, it says in Hebrews 13, verse 15, it says, therefore by him, let us continually offer the sacrifices of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That's powerful. That's powerful. So what he's saying here is that we need to continually be giving God praise every day. It's not just on Sunday mornings. It's not just on Wednesday nights. It's not just on Sunday nights. It's every day of the week we need to be praising God. Amen? And then I like what he says here, because the will of God, you want to know what the will of God for you is? Well, in this scripture, it gives us the will of God for each one of us. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So the will of God, part of the will of God in each one of our lives is to give God thanks in everything. Now let me just preface this by saying this, not for everything, but in everything. We don't give God thanks for the car accident, but we give God thanks that we walked away from the car accident. Amen. Amen. We don't give God thanks for his sickness, but we give God thanks for the healing that's coming into our lives. Amen. We don't give thanks, you know, because we're walking in some kind of poverty. We give thanks that he's bringing prosperity into our lives. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house today? Amen. So I love that. And so the third key, the reason why God created us, are you ready? Are you buckled in? Is to bless us. Do you believe that God wants to bless you? Do you believe that he wants to bless your life? If you really believe that, you would be seeking him every day and knowing that he will bless those that seek him. God pronounced a blessing on us when he created us. In Genesis 1, 27, 28, it says, "God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth." So notice the first thing that God did before he commissioned us to be fruitful and multiply, which is a blessing. He blessed mankind. You are blessed. And I'm going to say this, that no curse can ever override the blessing of God in your life. People might curse you, but those curses are going to boomerang back on them because you're walking in the blessing. Amen. Somebody say, "I'm walking in the blessing of God." I love this because God's blessings on us when we follow his will and his ways will be abundant in our lives. In Psalms 81, 13 through 16, this is the Lord, and he's talking to Israel. And Israel had a problem in following God. Have you ever had a problem in following God out here? Amen. Have you ever had an attitude in following God out here? I think we might all have problems following God. And so Israel was like, they were hot and cold with God. One day they were excited about the things of God. The next day they were in the world doing wrong things. And they had that roller coaster relationship with God, an up and down, hot and cold. But God wants us hot, glory to God. He doesn't want this up and down relationship. We're walking right with God one day. Now we're in sin the next day. And then we're repenting. And we're back up on the mountaintop, back in the valley. No, he wants us in the mountaintop every day of our lives. You believe that today? And so so the Lord is speaking to his people. And I really believe he's speaking to us too. And he says, oh, that my people, this is Psalms 81, 13 through 16. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies. I'll turn my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord would pretend submission to him, but their fate would endure forever. He would have fed them also with the finest of wheat, and with the honey from the rock, I would have satisfied you. So that's, you know, that's old, you know, that's like old covenant talk, right? You're going to be blessed with fine wheat and honey. Amen. I don't know if anybody wants any fine wheat this morning or honey, glory to God. But bread and honey, hallelujah. And so, but what he's saying here is he's saying if you would just listen to me and if you would just walk in my ways, I will bless your lives. Amen. And so we've discovered here that God created us for fellowship, worship, and blessing, to receive the blessings from him. So today, my main focus on my message today, and the title of my message is Grumbling and Complaining versus Praise and Worship. Amen? And so the goal for every believer, I believe, is to be a praiser and not a complainer. Say, my goal is to be a praiser, not a complainer. The old adage, complain and you remain, you know, praise and you'll be raised. Amen. So we can find warnings in the Old Testament about the pitfalls of complaining. The apostle writes in the book of Corinthians, and he gives some keys about the Israelites that did some wrong things in the wilderness. And he said that the wrong things that the Israelites did, we don't want to follow in their examples. Even though that we're new, born-again believers, we still don't want to follow the wrong ways of the Israelites. And in 1 Corinthians 10, it says, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea and were baptized into Moses in the cloud in the sea, and all drank of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Wow. So he's saying here that even though God did all these miracles and God was moving them into the promised land, that God wasn't well pleased with some of them because of some of their actions. And he's going to talk about these actions, and these are things that we need to heed to so that we don't do these things and make sure that we're walking in the blessing of God. And in 1 Corinthians 10, it says, now these things became of our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. And is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and was destroyed as serpents. Are you encouraged right now? Nor complain as some of them complained and were destroyed of the destroyer. Amen? And so we see here that it's interesting that these are examples of not to follow. If you lack true worship, you may start lusting after evil things. I'm just going to get real with you this morning. If you lack true worship to God, you may become an idolater. If you lack true worship, it may result in sexual immorality. If you lack true worship, you may start to tempt God. And if you lack true worship, you will definitely become a complainer. Now, what's interesting about this list here, I know you guys are excited this morning, amen? But what's interesting about this list of sins is that idolatry, which is bad, and sexual sin is pretty bad. Would you agree? But complaining is right in with that list. Wow. Of sexual sin and idolatry. Wow. So that's telling me that it's not good to be complaining. It's not on God's, you know, top of his list that gets him excited. In other words, God frowns on us complaining. Do you believe that today? How many people like to be around somebody that's a grumbler and a complainer? I don't like, it doesn't get me excited to be around people that grumble and complain all the time. Do you know anybody like that? You can say my spouse. No, keep looking straight ahead. Amen. No, but amen. But walk in love. Keep praying for your spouse. Amen. We all grumble and complain at times. Amen. So what do we do when we're encountering situations that we don't like? Have you ever encountered a situation that you weren't too happy about, that you did not like? Amen. That things were happening to you that were even seems to be unjust. That's right, because unjust things can happen to us at times. But James, in James 1, he tells us how to respond to troubled times. James says it this way, my brethren, count it all grief. That's right. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So I'm going to say this, that it's not easy praising God in the problem. It's not, that's really a tough pill to swallow. You ever had a hard, tough pill to swallow? Amen. They're hard to go down. Amen. And it's really difficult at times to give God praise when we're encountering problems. Amen. And because what the flesh wants to do is complain, gripe, and moan. But what the Spirit wants to do is praise, worship, and give God glory. Amen. And so I'm going to say this, that here it says here, through this verse, it said, count it all joy. So we must rejoice in the problems we face in life, because those problems are temporary. I'm going to say it again. Problems are temporary. God's word and his power are eternal. And it's changing the temporary in your life. It's not going to last forever. And problems produce patience in our lives. And patience gives us power of endurance in the process of coming out of the problem. I don't know if I can say that 5 times fast or not. Patience gives us power of endurance in the process of coming out of the problem. See, what we lack is we lack endurance. And you got to have endurance. You got to have staying power in the problems of life. In other words, I'm not looking at quitters out here. Why? Because God, Jesus lives in you. He didn't quit. And you cannot quit. Amen. Somebody say, I'm not quitting. In other words, you're going all the way and you're going to go all 12 rounds and you're going to make it to the end. Just like Rocky, he made it to the end. He just wanted to just stay in all 12 rounds. He wasn't worried about winning. But I'm going to say this, you stay in all 12 rounds of the fight, you will win. And then we know this, that if we're dealing with issues, we need to ask God for wisdom. And then in asking God, we don't doubt that he has the power to help us and to get us through. Amen? The Israelites in the wilderness had a problem with complaining. That problem stems from a lack of worship, I believe, to God. And so I like this in Numbers 21. I'm going to encourage you a little bit more this morning. I'm going to read this account, amen, of them in the wilderness. As it says in Numbers 21, 4 and 5, it says, "Then the journey from Mount Horeb by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom of the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way." Have you ever been discouraged? And it says here, "And the people spoke against God and against Moses, 'Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness?'" That was a wrong thing to say. And they said, for there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread." Amen. They were getting manna. God was raining down manna from heaven, the best health food known to man. How many people like health food out here? I don't think anybody likes health food. Healthy food doesn't taste good, does it? It's like, you know, you get one of these bars, it has no sugar, it has nothing, and it tastes like sawdust. Amen. Has anybody been there? Some of these things that's supposed to be healthy for you, how come they never taste any? They don't taste good. Amen. But you just eat it anyway, right? And so, but God was raining down manna, and this is interesting, that they really had small thinking itis. What do I mean by small thinking itis? They weren't seeing the bigger picture. They were just focused in where they were at right now, but they weren't focusing on the promised land that they were going into. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? And so what happens is when we start to complain and gripe, we have small thinking itis. We only think short term, but we don't see the bigger picture. And see, you got to see the bigger picture. Where is God taking you? He's taking you to the promised land. But you can't have small thinking itis in your life. You can't be thinking small, "Oh my gosh, I'm having problems right now." Yeah, but God's going to bring you through that problem into the promise. Amen. Amen. And you know, a lot of times there's going to be faith tests to get you to your faith mountain of hope. And so I love this. So it says here that they got discouraged because they were focused on where they were at instead of where they were going. They became critical of God and Moses because of their inability to see the bigger picture. They took for granted the provision that God was providing them in the wilderness, and they forgot how much God was doing for them. Think about this. God did all these miracles to get them out of Egypt. He did the 10 plagues. He got them through the Red Sea. He opened that Red Sea. He wiped out the Egyptian army. Then he brought a cloud over them to give them shade during the day. Then he had a pillar of fire at night to keep them warm. And then he had food. He had air condition. He had heat. You hear what I say? He had manna. Glory to God. He had he had great leaders that was leading them. Moses. Amen. And they took it for granted. Don't ever take for granted for what God has given you. Don't throw it back in God's face and say, "Well, God, I would have been better off if I never got Jesus in my life." Don't ever say that. No, you are blessed because you're saved and you got Jesus on the inside of you. You just don't know what he has already done for you. Amen. So it says here that in Numbers 21:6, "So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died." Amen. So I don't think God really liked their attitude, and they had a worse situation. Snakes were biting them. You know, it's already a bad situation when you have a negative attitude, but it gets even worse when snakes starts biting you, right? So what do they do? Repentance is the key when we start speaking negative about God or about our situation. We need to repent. Somebody say repent. And in Numbers 21:7, it says, "Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us.' So Moses prayed for the people." And the second key is to come out of your wilderness into the promised land. You must keep your focus on Jesus and not the circumstances. In Numbers 21:8-9, the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent, set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone bitten who looks at it shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent, put on the pole, and it was, and the serpent had bitten anyone. When he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. So we see here that this is saying to us that when the snakes of life are trying to bite us in our wilderness and we're fighting depression, keep our eyes on Jesus. Stay focused on Jesus and what he can do in your lives. You know, there's going to be bad things happen to good people. I'm going somewhere today. Bad things can happen even when you're doing the right things in life. Don't think that bad things won't happen, but even if bad things happen, God is with us through the bad, the good, and the ugly. And so we got to understand this, that we got to be, Paul says, you got to be like a soldier. Somebody say, I'm a soldier. And you got to be like a soldier, and you got to be, and the Bible says, endure hardness as a good soldier in Christ Jesus. So you're going to have to learn to endure some of these tough times in life, because life is not easy and we're going somewhere. How many people are heaven bound? How many people are focused on Jesus, focused on heaven? I'm believing his return is imminent. Jesus is coming back soon. Get me out of here, Lord. Amen. Glory to God. And so Jesus is coming back on a rescue mission, because this world is going to hell in a handbasket. Have you noticed how bad it is in this world? It's bad out here. But thank God it's getting better in here. Thank God the church is getting lighter. And so Paul and Silas was doing the will of God in Philippi. They were preaching. Paul was raising up a church in Philippi. And they were doing the right things. And this lady started following Paul and Silas around and saying, these men are men of the Most High God. And but she was not the greatest promoter of Paul's ministry, because she had a spirit of divination. She was hearing from a wrong spirit. And Paul cast that spirit out of that lady. And the owner of that lady had some clout with the people in that city. And he took Paul to the authorities. And so even though Paul and Silas were doing the right things, the wrong things were happening. And in Acts 16, let's focus in on what happened here. Then the multitude rose up together against them, against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. Ooh, man, sign me up. Sign me up for that missions trip. Sign me up. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to get beat for Christ. I only think if you had a mission trip and you know the possibility of you getting beat, would you go out? You'd probably stay home. You'd probably stay home. And he says here, and command them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them in prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. So I don't think they were having a good day that day. It wasn't like a real, woo, glory to God, I love serving God. Amen. Sometimes serving God, sometimes when the roses come our way, we get the thorns. Amen. But even though we may encounter some pretty bad days, how do we respond to those bad days? How are we responding? Are we responding in praise and worship, or are we responding in grumbling and complaining? And we see here in Acts 16, it says here, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were grumbling and complaining with each other. No, it doesn't say that. Silas was saying, Paul, why'd you get me into this city? No, they beat us. You know, no, it says at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, somebody say suddenly. Because when you start praising and worshiping God in the midst of your misery, God can work a suddenly in your lives. Do you believe that today? And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison was shaken, and immediately the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loose. Amen? So praise and worship brought Paul and Silas liberty and out of that prison that day. And I'm going to say this, that praise and worship will bring you into liberty and out of your prison. Now, what do we give God praise and worship for? What do we worship God for? I'm glad you asked. I love Psalms 103. It says that we need to bless and praise the Lord. And let me just read this to you. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. I'm going to stop there for a second. Because sometimes when we're in the trials of life, we forget God's benefits in our lives. Amen. The devil wants us to forget how good God has been to us. And we got to be very careful. We don't forget when we're going through the trials of life, we don't forget how good God has been to us. And he says here that forget none of his benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things. I'm talking about giving God thanks for these things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Lord executes righteousness and justice for all those who are oppressed. So we see here that God forgives our sins. We can be thankful that we have forgiven sins, that we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God's not holding anything against us. That's something to give God praise for. Then we can thank God that he heals all our diseases. And you might say, but Pastor, I'm going through something right now. You're in a process of healing. Continue to thank God for the healing power working in your bodies. And then it says here, we need to praise God for redeeming us from destruction. Has anybody ever avoided a major accident or may have been in a major accident but walked away from it? Either avoided one or been in one and walked away from it. That's God saving you from destruction. We can be thankful for that. Glory to God. Some of us might not be here today if it wasn't for God intervening in our lives. Glory to God. And we need to praise God for crowning us with loving kindness and tender mercies. We need to praise God for satisfying our mouth with good things, the Word of God. We need to praise God for renewing our youth. For those that are getting older in here, your youth is being renewed like the eagles. You got to believe that today. And we got to praise God for bringing righteousness and justice for the oppressed. I'm going to say this. Maybe some unjust things are happening to you, but God's going to turn it around. Amen. God's going to turn every unjust thing that ever happened to you in this life, he's going to turn around in this life and the life thereafter. Do you believe that today? Even the martyrs that were unjustly murdered will have a special martyr's crown in heaven and a special place of honor with the Father. So God will turn every negative thing around. Just remember, when you praise, you'll be raised to new life. When you complain, you'll remain in the wilderness of life. Did you receive it this morning? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. I thank you, Father God, for all that you are and all that you're doing. And Father, perhaps there's people in the audience or those listening or watching that has never made Jesus the Lord of their life. Well, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to put Jesus in the driver's seat of your life. So if you're ready to do that, just pray this simple prayer and mean in your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe he was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that for the first time, we believe you got born again. Stay connected with Exceed Life Church. And if you're here locally, come out, be a part of Exceed Life Church. We'd love to have you. in our congregation. If you're not here locally, find a good church home that will help you grow in Christ and stay in tune with Exceed Life Church. We'll be here at the same time next week. God bless you.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.